Hallelujah. So I'll take a moment to just thank those that help the machinery of the church function. Amen. The eldership, those who are elders that are here, can you stand to your feet with your wives? Yeah. I'll give them a hand. All right. Pastor Andrew was here, but he's going out to do something. And the pastoral staff, can the pastors stand, please? Give them a hand. Praise God. The others have gone on holiday. And those who function in the board, are there any board members here? We'll just give them a hand. And the church staff, the office staff, the grounds, and the maintenance staff, including the bald-headed fellow out there trying to fix the thing. Thank you very much for your part in the church. The deacons, car park attendants, those that count the offering every Sunday and Monday morning, those things just don't happen. There are actually human beings that do those things. And we just want to thank you. Give them a hand. Praise the Lord. And those that minister up here in charge of the music ministry, Pastor Karina and Caleb and those, can all the musicians stand that are here? The singers and the players. And praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Ben and the youth leadership, thank you very much. Give them a great hand. And the children's ministry, Pastor Martin and Tasha and their staff, the junior church, the G-Force, the big troopers, they don't just occur, all right, but give them a hand, praise God. The men's ministry, Barry and your staff, can you guys stand up? Who else is here? Hallelujah. And the president of the men's ministry, Lynn Smith, can you stand up, please? Stand up. All right. These guys forget their wives when they stand up. Jason Brownlee, Promise Keepers at Kingdom Riders. And give them a hand. Praise God. And those involved in the women's ministry, the good-looking lady up here, and Toshala Samoa and other women's groups, can you guys stand up so we can just, praise God. A lot of you don't know, but a lot of, there's a women's group that meet every week and just pray for the church. And Rose Ainsley and Mrs. Allett, can you folks just stand up and give them a hand? And the sound guy, the IT team up there, crackling all the time. But James Cooper and Vivian and Ash and the others, give them a hand. Praise God. And Helen, that operate the thing that go up here. And the creche. She's not here. But we'll just give her a clap anyway. And our hospice, Joyce, Pastor Joyce and Gary do things at the hospital for those. And can you guys stand up? And the chaplains at the hospital, industrial chaplain. Can you stand up, huh? She did a funeral yesterday of one of the people that used to work at Countdown, where she's a chaplain. So that was great. Hallelujah. The senior saints and those that help out, Ian and Merlin and their helpers, thank you very much for looking after the senior ones in the church. If some of those helpers are here, can you guys stand up? Don't just touch your wife. Just stand up with your wife. Oh, Mr. C, you did want to stand up. Hallelujah. Jacob Koinonia. I'll get you to stand up, all right? Praise God. And many other specialized small groups, thank you very much. Hallelujah. The altar workers, those that minister at these altars, can you guys stand up? All right. Give them a hand. Cleansing stream. You don't laugh at me. Hallelujah. And the prayer meetings, the weekly prayer meetings, Gary and the young ones that lead that prayer meeting, and Ian, thank you so much. The pre-service prayers, those that pray before the service, thank you so much. The intercessors that meet on Saturday afternoon, we are grateful for your prayers. And we just want to extend a sincere thank you to you. If some of you are here, can you guys, Alana normally leads that. Can you stand up? Who else? All right. Give them a hand. Bright Beginnings. Who is in charge of Bright Beginnings? Don't just wave your hand. Give her a hand. And Adrian and Ross. They'll probably be here in the second service. The kitchen staff, Richard and Wendy, hospitality, Barry and Lynn and Estelle and Ohepa and all your workers, we just want to take our hats off to you. Thank you so very, very much for doing that faithfully week by week. And last week, you excelled in making those sandwiches. I actually grabbed a bone and sat out there and ate that thing sincerely and with all honesty. Enjoyed it very much. But if you are involved with that, can you guys stand up so we can just give you a clap? Come on, Estelle. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. And the church gets decorated. And sometimes they don't just appear. You know, there's no tinkerbell from heaven comes along. Ding, ding. You know, they happen because somebody does it. And we're grateful to Lee and others that do that. So please give them a hand. Hallelujah. And those that minister the word of God week by week, Sunday by Sunday, including some of my young people, thank you very much for doing that, and give them a great hand. And did I miss anything else? Pastor Andrew and Wendy, thank you very much. Thank your wife for looking after the missions and taking care of the church. All right. Can you stand to your feet? Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Take your seats. And my children, come on. Well, sit down. And my family, my children, none of them is here. They're enjoying Christmas in Mangaweka. But First Lady of the Church, thank you very much. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Have I covered everybody? Mrs. Blair, thank you. And those that go down to the the Cambodian cafeteria and do that ministry down there. Give them a hand. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let me talk to you, then we can have a cup of tea. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. I had to go to Auckland to minister at a Tongan conference. A couple of conferences after Christmas, so I got back home yesterday evening. And it's nice to be home. God is good. Praise the Lord. Yelele. Amen. If you have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, I'm still talking on money. But I wanted to make a detour. Last week we talked about the provision of what God has done in providing for us. Hallelujah. Julie, can you stand to your feet? Can everybody give Julie a hand? We talk about the provision of prosperity and the price God had to pay for that. Christ took the curse of the law and released to us the blessing of Abraham. This week I was going to talk on why God does that. See, if you don't know why, if you don't know the purpose of your money, you'll abuse it. But if you know the purpose of it, you'll use it properly. And he'll put it where it was meant to go. And I won't say that this week. So you'll have to come back for it next week. I just want to say something a little bit. It's still the same thing on what we shared about how a man thinks. About your thinking and your will. And Paul said you'll be transformed when your mind is renewed and how you think. So I'll just minister on that avenue and then speak on the purpose of why God does that next Sunday. I know it's the new year. I know it's the end of the year. And most of the time you want to preach a message that is the end of the year. The only problem is we've still got another Sunday next week. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says this, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, hallelujah, according to his own good pleasure, which he purposed, the mystery of his will, according to his pleasure and what he had purposed in his own heart, because he's God. The kingdom of God is an amazing thing. And the Bible says, seek ye first, not anything but the king, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. So the Bible has given us what to prioritize. And most of the time we never think about that. But the kingdom of God the kingdom of God affects everything. But when we understand a little bit of that, then we can understand how to go about doing things, because every decision that you make affects your life. But how do you make decisions? Whatever decision you make, you have to have an eternal perspective when you're making decisions, even though your decisions happen in time. You need to have a perspective of eternity when you're making those decisions. And the Bible says, God has put eternity in the heart of every man. So whether you believe in God or whether you're an atheist. I don't know why atheists always try to fight God's existence. I mean, if you don't believe it, just don't say anything about it. And shut up and carry on with your life. I mean, I don't care if you don't believe in God. God has still put eternity in the heart of every human being, including the ding-dongs that say they don't believe in God. So when you have a perspective, when you make a decision, you have to have an eternal perspective in mind when you're making your decisions. And the kingdom of God is a powerful thing. Let me share with you some things about the kingdom. The nature of the kingdom is increase. Everything in the kingdom increases. God said to Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore. Why? Because everything in the kingdom increases. Hallelujah. The dynamics of the kingdom is everything gets better. When you come to the kingdom, if you have a broken marriage, your marriage will get better. If you come to the kingdom and you are in financial strife, your finances will get better. When it doesn't matter how you come to the kingdom, when you come to the kingdom, everything gets better. Now, if you're in trouble right now, if you're angry right now, if you're nasty right now, just give it one more night. And you'll wake up tomorrow morning and everything will get better. Why? Because the nature of the kingdom is increase. Hallelujah. And everything, the dynamics of the things in the kingdom is everything gets better from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from plateau to plateau. Hallelujah. The power of the kingdom is the anointing. The anointing has a force that will break the yoke. It will destroy every yoke because of the anointing. And there's a force with the anointing. And the Bible says, when you come to the kingdom, the violent take it by force. And the anointing can be violent. The anointing can invade sickness and they can heal. The anointing can invade demonic power and cast them out. Hello? The culture of the kingdom is service. When you come to the kingdom, you're there to serve. You're not there to be served. You're not there to warm the pew. The culture of the kingdom, whether you're high and mighty or low, it does not matter. The culture of the kingdom is to serve. If you want to be great, the songwriter says, in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. We are servant kings. We are kings and priests, but we are servant kings and priests. The culture of the kingdom is service. It's to serve. The order of the kingdom is structure. There are structures in the kingdom. It doesn't just have, it's not an amoeba. Are you all right? When we shared about the house of God, we said, the house has three main important ingredients. The foundation, the structure, the walls, and the covering. Every house needs to have those things. The foundation, the walls, the structure, the covering. And when you get into a church, the church needs to have the right foundation, the right structure, and the right covering. Because when that happens and you get into that church, you feel safe from the storms, from the winds, from the floods, from the rain. Hallelujah. The anointing of the kingdom functions by gifts. There are the gifts of the Spirit. Some people don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but it's in the Bible. Jesus could not do what he did without utilizing the gifts of the Spirit. The word of knowledge said to the woman at the well, you've had five husbands. That's a word of knowledge. That's not just guesswork. That's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Solomon said, whose baby is it? My baby. So he said, well, cut the baby in halves and divide it. It's just easy, you know. Let's cut the loaf in half and give the other half to this lady, the other half. And the other, the lady that owns it, said, give it to her. They said, well, that's her baby, not her. What is that? Word of wisdom. That's a word of wisdom. Only God knows how to do something like that. You give the gift of faith. Take away the stone. We take away the stone. The guy's been dead 4 days. When you take away the stone, something has to happen. And he takes faith to take away the stone. Lazarus, get out of here. The working of miracles. The healings that happen. The prophecy and message in tongues and interpretation of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. And these gifts function by anointings. And the anointing of the kingdom come through those giftings. Not only that, you've got human beings that are gifts. The Bible says, Jesus ascended unto heaven, gave gifts to men, gave them apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Pastor Andrew is a gift to our church. Pastor Joyce is a gift to the church. They are gifts and they have anointings according to their calling, and when they are utilized, it blesses us because the anointing, the kingdom anointing is in the gifts. Are you all right? You all right, old man? Hallelujah. Is this all right? Hallelujah. The success of the kingdom is generational. If it stops in one generation, there is something wrong with it. There's never anything wrong with God. But the blessing of the kingdom and its success is a generational anointing from one generation passing the baton, the Americans said. We say it here, baton. I don't know why they make English so difficult. It's just a baton. You pass the baton on to another generation. You pass an anointing on to another generation. Hallelujah. The currency of the kingdom is not pounds. And it's not euros. It's not dollars. And it's not bahts. It's not pesos. The currency of the kingdom is faith. Everything you transact in the kingdom is done by faith. Faith may involve dollars, euros, bahts, pesos, pounds, but faith is the currency. You don't build a building with money when you come to the kingdom. You build buildings by faith. It may involve money, and faith will get out there and get the money, but it's faith that's the currency of the kingdom. Are you awake? Hallelujah. The strength of the kingdom is agreement. Where two agree on earth. And when we come in agreement as one, there is absolutely nothing that we can't do. Why? Because the strength of the kingdom is agreement. Are you all right? Are you tracking with me? All right. Access into the kingdom has to do with understanding mysteries. And this is what our text said, having made known to us the mystery of His will. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. And when you understand mysteries, and mysteries many times are not explained. Mysteries are revealed. And when David prayed, "Show me your ways, O Lord," he was asking about, "Reveal me to me how you do stuff." When they came to Caesarea Philippi, and Peter gave that answer, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood." It wasn't a pastor that told you. It wasn't a Bible teacher that told you. It wasn't because you went to church on Sunday morning. It was my Father that revealed that to you. And when mysteries are revealed, you understand the dynamics of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So when those revelations come and mysteries are unfolded by God, we have what we call a vision. That's a lot of times we misinterpret. It's actually not a vision, it's a revelation. Without revelation, the people will perish. It's not vision. The word in the book of Proverbs is actually revelation. And when God opens the rocky places, the hard places, when God opens the rock and water come out of the rock, one day it was a rock, the next day you drank out of it. You know what that is? That's a mystery unfolded. And I don't care if all you've got is rock. When God opens a rock, hello? Say amen. There are mysteries. An entrance into the kingdom is understanding mysteries. The great man, the great wise man said, I don't understand the way of a serpent on the rock. I don't understand the way of the devil on Christ. The serpent is who? The rock is who? That's a mystery. I don't understand the way of a man to a maid. You look at me, then you look at fear. I said, how did she marry him? It's a mystery. Only God and I know that. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Have a look at Jeremiah. Is this a good detour? Good. Jeremiah chapter 3. The good thing about preaching the Bible is that I never wrote anything of it. So if you get angry at me, don't get angry at me. I didn't write the Bible. It's not our family book. It is our family book, but I didn't write it. The head of the family wrote it. Jeremiah, have you found Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, what do you feed sheep with? I'll give you shepherds according to my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and what? Understanding. That's what sheep eat. Now, natural sheep eat grass, but in the church, the grass the sheep eat in the church. If the shepherds are according to God, then the shepherds will feed the flock of God with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you don't find knowledge and understanding here, go find another church. But if you find that here, stay here and eat. Why? Because shepherds after God's own heart will feed the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers, but He will feed the flock of God with knowledge and understanding. And entrance into the kingdom is understanding mysteries. You okay? Now, if you're not used to knowledge and understanding, there are things you won't like about knowledge and understanding, and sometimes you may leave because you don't like knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Say amen. And part of the reason why we talk on finances is to give you knowledge and understanding. Now, some of you may get angry at that, but I still did not write the Bible. You can rip out everything in the Bible about finances, but my purpose is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Say amen. In every human being, there's a thing called a brain. Hello? Now, you may never have seen your brain, but you still got brains. So a lot of people say, well, I've never seen God, neither have you seen your brains. So if you're waiting to see God before you believe Him, you can't believe yourself because you've got brains, but you haven't seen your brains. You may have seen somebody else's brain, but you haven't seen yours. But in every human being, there is a thing called a brain. And the brain is the organ that helps us to think, and in every brain there's a thing called a mind, where we think. Are you okay? In every mind there is a belief system. There's an attitude. There are certain things that you believe. And your belief system has been shaped by certain things. Some of the things that have shaped your belief system is education. Some of the things that have shaped your belief system is your culture. Some of the things that have shaped your belief system is how you were brought up in your own family. You will roast the roast according to your mom's way of doing the roast, and you will think that is the proper way to do a roast. And then you go to some other family and they roast the thing very differently. And they say there are more than one way to skin a cat. Why would you skin a cat? I have no idea. But it's your cliche. Do you eat cats here? Well, why do you say things that you don't do? But you have been molded and shaped in your belief system. It's like in every belief system, there is a shaper and a molder that will mold you to believe the way that you believe. And when somebody comes along and tells you differently, they're touching a very, very delicate point. And you'll likely tell the person off, swear at them, or smack them in the face. Why? Because your belief system is molded a certain way. Some people call it the worldview. And when the Bible comes in and tells us that our way of thinking is upside down, sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to try and renew the way we think. Are you all right? Some people, I mean, their table manners is very proper. My mother's Samoan, she's passed away now. But you dare not sit at the table without your manners. She knows. She said, son, you're going to New Zealand. New Zealand are the worst for table manners. They're so strict. It's not like here. Learn to eat with a fork and knife. Put your pee on the top of the fork. Not in... But when I eat, as I said to you before, don't ever tell me make yourself at home. You have no idea what I do at home. Because when I eat at home, my bread goes onto the... It doesn't go on a plate. If it's a tablecloth, it goes on a tablecloth. If there's no tablecloth, it goes on the top of the table. I eat from the pot. So if you tell me, make yourself at home, guess what? I'll eat from your pot. I still remember one of our young people who's now grown up and quite famous now. He turned up at our house in Devon Road one time. And I was standing there with a pot. And he just cracked up. He said, I thought he was telling... I said, what do you mean telling fibs? He said, you actually eat from the pot. I said, I do. And I also burp. So if I burp beside you, don't knock me. I just do that. My wife tells me, excuse yourself. So, hallelujah. And I said to this young man, came in and he laughed. And I said, you want some lunch? He said, yes. Grab a plate. Sit down. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because every belief system is shaped by something. Are you all right? Hallelujah. And with every shaper that shapes your belief, there is an agenda. And every one of you, right here, right now, has an agenda. You have an agenda when you come to church, and you have an agenda when you leave church. But everyone has an agenda, and everyone has a way, a system of doing things. And if you don't like what's preached, you will still, what do you call it, default to your shaper. Why? Because you've got an agenda. I was going to sing a Psalm 1 song just then, but you wouldn't understand what I was going to sing. Hallelujah. Are you okay? All right? I've got 17 minutes. All of us are affected by five wills. It's what affects all of us. And if you can understand that, then my purpose in detouring this morning before I speak on the purpose of prosperity is great. It's achieved. The first will that affects you is God's will. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a will for everyone in this building. God has a will, whether you find that or not. It's not God's fault. God has made known the mystery of His will to us. And it's our honor and privilege to find it. And when we find it, we found life. But every one of us, God has a will for you. The Bible says, I know the plans. He knows the plans. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not evil. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And people come in and they, God have, if you will just stay put a little bit, let a few, hello? Because everything gets better in the kingdom. You will find the plan of God, and the plan of God will fulfill you like nothing else on the planet. But God has a will for every father that's here, every mother that's here, every single parent that's here, every young person that's here, every couple that's here. God has a will for your life. Hallelujah. Someone asked me just recently, well, quite several people asked me recently, when did you know you were going to be a pastor? I said, when I was 3. I said, what? I was not even in primary school, but I knew I was going to be a minister. And when I was at high school, I do all the things that young people do. And the trouble with young people today, they think that you don't know what they're doing. They ask me some very curly questions. I said, have you ever realized that I've already asked those questions myself? They think, oh, we're going to stump pastor. I was going to ask a question he can't answer. It's like us going to ask God. We're going to stump God. And we're going to ask him a question he can't answer. We'll get real. Hallelujah. And I knew I was going to be a minister when I was about 3 years old. I was not even old enough to go to primary school. And when I was at high school, I got drunk. They used to ask me, Billy, what are you going to do when you finish school? I said, I'm going to be a preacher. They said, what? You're drunk. I said, I don't care. I don't know how, but I'm going to be a preacher. How do you know? I said, I've always known. Hallelujah. So when you find God's will for your life, it will satisfy you like nothing on earth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The second will that affects you is the will of the devil. It's a demonic will. And as much as God has a plan for each of you, guess what? The devil has a plan for each of your lives. Now, Isaiah said this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean the weapon is not formed. There are weapons that are formed and fashioned in hell for your destruction. And sometimes the devil starts quite early. Sometimes the devil starts before you're born. That's why when you're born, you grow up, you struggle with battles you can't even read. Well, what's going on? That's because the devil has planned your destruction and forged a weapon in hell through your great-great-great-grandmothers and grandfathers. And those things have been fashioned in your family without your knowing. And when you came through, there are struggles. Why is this? And he can't explain it. The good thing is, this is the good thing. God has plans from 1,000 generation back to 1,000 generation that way for you. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Guess what? You are on target to be destroyed. You're on target to be killed. And Jesus said, and Jesus did not lie. He said, you're a target to be destroyed. But then he said this, but I'm coming too. And I'm coming to give you life and more life. So as much as the God has plans for you, the enemy has plans for your life. Plans to destroy you. Kill your happiness. Destroy your family. Are you okay? And those plans affect our lives. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the devil has a legal right to be here. And the devil comes to church more often than you do. And he comes to church and he listens to the knowledge and understanding. That's why when Jesus said, when you go out, be as gentle as the Holy Ghost, but be as smart as the devil. Be as wise as the devil, at least. You're very quiet this morning. The third will is man's will. Hallelujah. The cultural norms, the way we think. Well, this is the way Kiwis think. This is the way Samoans. This is the way we do things. Why? It's man's will. And not necessarily wrong, but it still affects our lives. Maybe you did not want to have a service this morning. Well, we decided to put a service on. We didn't vote on it. You just turned up. Who decided to do it? Andrew and Fear and I and the staff. We decided to turn up and preach. And it's customary that we come every Sunday. Why? It's how we think. Hallelujah. Let me hurry up because I've got 8 more minutes. The fourth one, I'll just leave it out. The fourth one is your will, your personal will. You choose to come to church. You choose to not come to church. You choose to come late or you choose to come early. You choose to walk in the rain or you choose. But in that sphere of your personal human will, your will is far more powerful than God's will. Your will is more powerful than the will of God. If we could just submit to the will of God, everything would be fine, but we don't. God said to Eve, don't eat the fruit of the tree. Eve said, I will eat the fruit of the tree. God said to Samson, well, can't you find a girl in the church? Samson's father said, can't you find an Israeli girl? No, I like Philistine girls. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah went to Wanaka. Because in that sphere, our wills and what we decide is more powerful than God's will. And when the head of the church came to the church, he stood at the side, at the door of the church and knocked and said, if anybody hears my voice, open the door. I will come in. I will sup with him and he with me. Now here's the head of the church knocking on the door of the church. Why? Because the will of man, your personal will, my will, is greater than God's will. God says, I don't like marriages between one lady and another lady or one man and another man. We say in this country, hang your will. We'll do our will. Why? Because man's will, your will, and my will are more powerful than God's will. Don't blame God for our stupidity. Are you all right? And God may entice you to get into his will. God will use everything at his disposal. He will get a fish. He will get a storm. He'll get waves just to get Jonah not to Wanaka, but to Nineveh. And God will use that. And it's still at the end of it, our decision whether we're going to abide by God's will, by His principles, or we are just going to do it our way because our shaper and our molder has an agenda and molds us a particular way and hang everything to do with God. I'm just going to do my own will. And when you do that, you know what God says? Okay, let your will be done. Hallelujah. Got four more minutes. Last one is the corporate will. It's when we come together and choose together to do something. And when we are one. Remember what they did in the Tower of Babel. They were one. And when they were one, God said, I'm going down. I'm going to have a look. And God said to himself, now man is one. Therefore, nothing will be withheld from him. Now that's a biblical principle. That most times the secular humanists use. They get together in one conference and chant together, trying to be one. And God sits in the heavens and laughs. But that's the kind of power that God has intended for the church. It's when we are our cooperate will in agreement. That's why when the All Blacks play the Springboks and they play here, all the commentators in the world says the All Blacks have an advantage. Why? Because of the corporate will of the nation backing the All Black to win. And in building that facility or whatever we do, when we have a corporate will to cooperate with what God has been saying to us, we can do anything.